So hear now the word of God, Psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he, or what man is there, who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. This is the word of God to us, and may his name be praised, and may his spirit grant unto us understanding of the message that he has for us this evening. To that end, let us once again come before his throne of grace as we seek his presence with us and his illumination to each of us as we hear his word. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, once again, we express to you our gratitude for the privilege in freedom to come to this house of worship, to bring once again to you that which you alone deserve from us, while learning that which your Spirit shall instill in our hearts and confirm in our experience. As we pray for us here, we pray for many other congregations in this nation and even in other parts of the world, as they also meet to bring to you their gratitude, their praises, their worship. We pray once again for Pastor Kirby and those accompanying him in this journey. May this day have been a rich experience for them, wherever they might have walked, whatever they may have seen. And then bring them back safely at the time already decided for their return. Father, we pray for our nation in these difficult days. We pray for the world in general, with so much corruption, so much crime, so many things that make us cry. And yet as we look up to you, we know that you have the answers and you are in control of your creation. Grant that as we look now into your word, we may be illumined by your Spirit in understanding more concretely, more clearly, that which you would have us learn this evening. These things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I say so often, but I need to say once again, it's always a privilege to be God's messenger to you. And every time that Pastor Kirby invites me to be here, almost inevitably my schedule is free. And I was able to respond affirmatively and have the joy of occupying this pulpit. As you may have noticed in the bulletin, the title that I gave for our meditation this evening is Preparing to Give Thanks. It's amazing that in a little more than just 1 week, 1 week from this coming Thursday, our nation shall be celebrating that most American of all holidays, namely Thanksgiving, a holiday that by presidential proclamation is celebrated on the last Thursday of each November. And it is very significant that we do that. Not that we should confine our gratitude only to that one time of the year, but it is a time when we can really bring together into our minds and hearts the blessings that we have been the recipient of and render unto God in the company of His people, as it will be the case here at 10 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day. God willing, I'll be here, as I came on many other occasions to hear the testimony of some and the message that shall be presented, as well as the service in general. That is always a time of blessing and joy. Now, normally we prepare ourselves for things that we need to do. If we are going on a trip, we prepare for the trip. We see what we shall be needing there, and we be sure that all those items go into our suitcases before we depart on that journey. And of course, we can multiply the instances where preparation is an important ingredient for things that we are to do later on. But I'm sure equally that many of us never think of preparing to give thanks. We simply wait for the moment and offer thanks. But the idea of preparing to give thanks is that we cautiously, judiciously, make a mental list, or preferably a written list, of all of those things that have accumulated from the beginning of the year until that particular day, for which we should give to God the thanks that are due and to Him. Of course, we are never limited only to one day in the course of any given year, because thanksgiving must be a daily practice for a child of God, because He daily loads us with His benefits, as another psalm indicates exactly in those words. And of course, we thank not only God, but His human agents, because so many favors are extended to us by brothers and sisters in Christ, by the people that serve us in a variety of ways, and even by strangers that at a moment of goodness in their heart, they will open the door for us. They will help us cross the street, or they will see some possible handicap that we may be faced with and will alleviate that burden. All of these people need an instant and precise and decisive word of gratitude on our part. Now, giving thanks is a much appreciated human quality. You and I know that very well. We feel even better when somebody says thank you for something relatively insignificant that we may have done for them. And by the same token, we do exactly the same for people that are daily alleviating our burdens and in one way or another doing things that are so important to us. In other words, all of us look with favor, especially at children, skilled in the use of that magic word, thanks. And I hope that contemporary homes will continue to teach their little ones at a very tender age the importance of recognizing something good, some special favor rendered, so that they can express with a word of thanks. And to the extent that they are created in that environment and habituated in doing these things, times will come in their adult years when that will remain with them, and they will find different occasions that always come to us when we can express our gratitude as well. And that's why we are also drawn to people who show gratitude for anything done to them, whether great things or insignificant things. It is said that many people who don't see the value of thanksgiving and gratitude, even for small favors, even become puzzled when they hear from another a word of thanks for having opened the door at the supermarket or helped them in some other way. Many look as some strange act. Others are very indifferent and they don't say anything. But I think it is important for good conviviality among all members of the human race, wherever we may find ourselves, to be able to express that which God desires from us. And yet, you know very well that thanksgiving is much more than a mere human quality or virtue that we should cultivate and develop at all times. It is, of course, an inseparable ingredient of a healthy and fulfilling life. Those of us who are grateful normally are more positive people in all of our dealings with others. Dr. J. Harold Allen, who is both a Reformed pastor and also a chaplain in some psychiatric hospital here in the United States, in one of his writings he wrote this: "It is a revealing clinical and biblical fact that people who can be grateful can be healthy, and people who are incapable of generating spontaneous and authentic gratitude are unable to be healthy." So although thanksgiving is an ongoing practice in the life of any person, it is also good, we must say, that we have that special day every November, every year, Thanksgiving Day, in which we are led to acknowledge all of the good that has been received by each of us during the year. And just as we prepare to make requests, we make our lists. Just this past Friday, 2 days ago, my daughter texted me and said, "Dad, if you could you soon send me a list, a wish list for Christmas?" And I already had those items in mind, so I very quickly sent those to her, knowing that if she follows the pattern that yearly is followed by my children, especially my daughter, that I'll be receiving every single one of those items, which, by the way, are books, which is part of my daily diet and my daily therapy as well. But just as we prepare to make requests, we must also prepare to give thanks. It is important that now we take inventory, as I mentioned earlier, and start collecting all of those things. Oh, that person that I met May of this year, What an impact that individual made in my life. I have to give thanks to God for him or her. And that sermon that literally changed my behavior in a certain area of my life, I have to thank the Lord for the pastor and for what he did as an instrument of Almighty God in my own life. And that favor that my next door neighbor offered me when I was confined to bed for a couple of weeks, I could not have lived without that spontaneous gesture that affected me so deeply and so mightily. And we can just multiply the instances. But for that, we have to plan. We have to prepare. And we will be surprised how the list will increase if we reflect on different things that may have happened to us from the beginning of this year until the time around Thanksgiving Day. And then we render unto God those things that are due primarily to him. But we may have the opportunity also of picking up the phone or sending an email or whatever the case might be to that individual. And I do that even to people overseas. And I say, today, whether you know it or not, is an official holiday in our nation. It is Thanksgiving Day. And I was thinking about you. And I was thinking about this which you did for me. Maybe you don't even remember. But it was so meaningful to me. And it has stayed with me and made an impact in my life. And I want you to know of my continued gratitude for that. Such preparation won't ever rob us of spontaneity. It will simply enlarge and give more life to it. Because our gratitude is nothing forced. It must remain a very spontaneous type of thing. What we must thank people, as I said, but ultimately we thank God. Since every good and perfect gift comes only from him, as the Apostle James so clearly elaborates in his epistle. So in preparing to give thanks, we must involve ourselves in three significant exercises. And I use three different words to be the basis of our brief considerations. Concerning those. Detection, reflection, and election. And I'll explain each as we go along. Detection. What does that mean? This means taking inventory of the blessings received, being mindful of all the good that has been done to us, recognizing even painful and unpleasant situations as possible blessings in disguise. Remember that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he said, in everything, give thanks. Our tendency is just to give thanks to those positive things that have affected us. And obviously, this is very true and very necessary. But think about it. In everything, giving thanks. Not only the good that inevitably comes, but even some unpleasant circumstances. Because in the midst of all of that, God is shaping us to improve the quality of our being for the things that he has in store for us to fulfill as well. In everything, give thanks. Now, it's not easy, of course, to be thankful if we do not recognize tangible gifts and favors which have come our way. And that is why preparing to give thanks will more readily bring these things to mind, and we will be able then to say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, John, for what you did as an instrument of Almighty God, as one of his human agents, in making my life easier, in blessing my heart in such a special way by the things that you have done at such and such a time, in such and such circumstance, which you may recall quite well. Sometimes we are literally blind to so much good around us. Blessings that we continue to enjoy, we just take them for granted. That's the way it's supposed to be. But no. Even things that are so regular and so appreciated by us deserve our gratitude, because God is the one behind all of that. And we need to acknowledge that and to tell Him so as well. Now, let us be sure that God will not withhold any additional and perhaps greater blessings if we are not diligent in recognizing the little favors, the little things that He has done for us and is prepared to continue doing as well. Thus, detection is most important in this whole process of preparing to give thanks. Because our thanks, just like our requests, must be very specific. I'm convinced that many times some of our prayers are not answered because we just pray in generalities, when it is important for us to be more specific. Lord, I need this. I once heard a Korean pastor many years ago, and that stuck with me since then. He needed a bike in his land to go out visiting. That was a transport that would fulfill his major assignment in visitation and in taking care of certain emergencies. Not a car, but a bike would do. But then he said he prayed for the bike and he would not get the bike, and then he had to think of a special model and ask specifically for that one. The right color. And he mentioned all kinds of other details. And after being that specific, he received exactly what he had requested in the right time from a loving, almighty God. So we need to learn to be very specific too, in every possible way. Now, parents teach their children, their growing children especially, to say thanks. And God also shows us early in our Christian walk to manifest gratitude, as He surrounds us daily with manifold reasons for thanksgiving. Like I quoted another psalm, He daily loads us with benefits. And we need to be ready to do that. Once I read of a man who decided to move from what he called Grumble Street to Thanksgiving Avenue. And that was a very unique gesture on his part, because things started going much better when he had made that transition, moved from one location which was negative and not productive, into a new status, Thanksgiving Avenue, whatever that might have been, where his heart was continually aware and filled to the brim of gratitude for specific gifts from Almighty God. May we also be among them as we carefully detect divine favors in our lives. But in addition to detection, I mention another ingredient is reflection. Reflection. In our thanksgiving, we need to not be selective and limit our thanks to blessings enjoyed in the course of the past year. We can go even far beyond the beginning of this year of 2019. Because we are still living in the effects of what God has done in the distant past. And we should never lose sight Because many of the other blessings that have come our way have been blessings that depended on that initial divine action that got so much in motion in our experience. And that's why the psalmist began this beautiful psalm that we read today, as I indicated, one of my favorites, when he said, I will bless the Lord. In other words, I will praise him at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not limited to a season of the year, much less to just one day of the year, even though all of those are quite proper. All of those have their place as well. But at all times, we are to render unto him our gratitude. And we must look far beyond into the more distant past, as I said, and show bounteous gratitude for specific things. Just to name a few, for the wife that we men have married, or the husband that some of you ladies have also married. In spite of the difficulties that you both may have endured, as is inevitable in any home situation, I think that the number of things that deserve gratitude are far greater, and we need to focus on those. And our own disposition will also be positively affected by that change of thinking, in recognizing that we focus on the good and we forget about things about which we can do nothing more. And the best that we can actually do is to forget in order to concentrate on the good that continues to have its positive effect in our lives as well. We should look far back and be grateful for the parents who instilled values that we are still happy to follow today, and which have been so decisive in all of our human transactions, not only business transactions, but in everything else that we do in life. I don't cease to give thanks to God for those that reared me. My father was a minister of the gospel, and he set an example for the profession that in due time I was going to follow in his footsteps, not by choice, but by divine push, because I avoided as much as I could to get into the ministry. But when the call comes from God, there is nothing that we can do to interrupt that flow or to stop that procedure. And through these many years, I'm grateful for the privilege, grateful for the blessings that have come to me, and more yet, the blessings that hopefully, through my ministry, have positively affected countless lives in the congregations that I have served, even in congregations that I have simply been the occupant of the pulpit one time or another. And yet, it came from home. It came from godly parents who instilled respect for Almighty God and diligent study of His holy word, which is the way whereby He speaks to us today and at any age, with a message that, though so ancient in its writing and publication, is so fresh and so contemporary in its impact and effect in our lives as well. We should look back and thank the years that we resided in the house where our own children grew up. It is important to have been there, to be the influence that God enabled us to be. And that brings good memories, and with the memories, this sense of utmost gratitude and thanksgiving. And then to think of that unforgettable moment that we may have enjoyed in a major trip, the things that we saw, the people that we met, the cuisine that we savored, and so many other factors related to that experience. Even though it is so mundane in so many ways, it is still a gift of God which should be recognized and that we should express our gratitude. And such reflection will enable us to offer thanks for the right reasons, for what is truly legitimate. And one thing that we have to guard ourselves of at all times is not to be thankful for things that we may have enjoyed for a moment, but which we were illegitimate in the eyes of God and in the design of Almighty God for our lives. Many people today are simply pointing to heaven or going with their hands like this and filled with gratitude for things that God would never approve. That is a sacrilege. That is not something that will please the Almighty God. But when we look for things that are legitimate, let us go out of our way if necessary and render the thanks bounteously to Almighty God. We are to be thankful not for what we secure through greed, not from what we gain by stepping on other people, not through dehumanizing our fellows. We are to be thankful for what constitutes direct and indirect favors from our loving Heavenly Father. And each of us can draw from our own hearts, from our own minds, from our recollections from the past, and even of recent days, of blessings that have come to meet our needs. As a new illustration of God's unceasing favor unto all of us. I'm sure that most, if not all of you, have heard the name of the famous American Helen Keller. She lived in the 20th century. She grew up already completely deaf and unable to express herself by being equally mute. And yet she made a great impact worldwide through her writings, through her speeches, sometimes not using her own voice, which she could not utilize, but by holding the hands of her interpreter, making the right signs that were then transmitted to an audience of any size. And in one of her writings, she said, "For three things, I thank God every day of my life. Things that he has vouchsafed me knowledge of his words. Deep thanks that he has set in my darkness the lamp of faith. Deep, deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward. A life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song." Another one that comes to mind is the composer of so many beautiful hymns right here in our nation. She, unfortunately, was completely blind. But her blindness did not mar the eyes of her faith. And one of the hymns that she composed, which is still sung in many of our churches, she expresses the hope, "And I shall see him." Indeed, she shall see him as he is, as he reveals himself at the last day. And we can find in Christian history and even in world history many other examples of individuals that, in the midst of their affliction, they could still give thanks to God, as we daily find reasons to thank him who spared us of a possible accident, a disaster that could have taken our lives, and yet in his providence and by his grace, he allowed us to escape the harm that was almost inevitable. so as to continue the life that He has in view for us. Reflection will cause our thanksgiving to be more specific. And that's exactly what we want to do. And our notes of thanks to others about specific use chosen for a gift that they extended to us, some favor that they passed on to us. It's a good way of expressing very concretely, very tangibly, our gratitude as well. I have an interesting story that I jot down to share with you about a rabbi who once asked a very prominent member of his congregation. He said, "Whenever I see you, you're always in a hurry, always in a hurry. Tell me, where are you running all the time?" And the man, as a good Jew, responded by saying, "I'm running after success. I'm running after fulfillment. I'm running after the reward for all my hard work." The rabbi responded, "That's a good answer. If you assume that those blessings are somewhere ahead of you, trying to elude you, and if you run fast enough, you may catch up with them." But then he added, "But isn't it possible that those blessings are behind you? That they are looking for you. And the more you run, the harder you make for them to find you." And then this author adds, "Isn't it possible, indeed, that God has all sorts of presents for us? Good food and blessed sunshine, sunsets. And flowers budding in the spring, and leaves turning in the fall, and quiet moments of sharing. But we, in our pursuit of happiness, are so constantly on the go that we can't find us. He can find us at home to deliver them." It's important for us to reflect on that possibility as well. May our wish list never be bigger than our thank list, since we have much more to be grateful for than we even realize. Well, we have looked at the first 2 points of our message, dealing with detection, briefly alluding to reflection, and the third one, I use the word election, not in its theological connotation, but as something that we ourselves elect to do. And this has to do with our actual determination to render thanks unto God, as we are always urged in Scripture to do. It's enough to open the book of Psalms, like Psalm 34, and see a psalmist, whether King David or any of the others that also wrote Psalms, say, "I'm going to do this in giving thanks unto God. I'm going to act in this manner to please Him, to show concretely, tangibly, my gratitude to Him for all the benefits that I have received from Him." And it is imperative that we do the same. Dr. Joel Naderhood, who many of you know by name because for many years he was the speaker of the weekly program, the Back to God Hour of the Christian Reformed Church. He's a friend of mine. I had the privilege of being with him on several occasions, even though several years have now passed since I had my last personal encounter with him. But in one of his writings, he says, people who are not thankful are often neurotic, tense, frustrated, and afraid. And this is very much the case. This is an experience that all of us can be avoiding day after day, year after year, if we propose in our own hearts to be grateful not only for the big gifts, the more extravagant experiences that God sends to us at one time or another, but those gifts that come even small in size, small in nature, and yet significant in their effects to all of us. And I'm convinced that many fail to give thanks because what they get doesn't arrive in the same shape or format that they had wanted. But of course, the dissatisfied and grateful person will always miss out a lot. Let us instead make room for more blessings which God wants to bestow on us. Giving thanks opens the way for extra dimensions of God's interest in and love for us. Many times people through the years have come to my office and said, I have prayed so much for this or for that, and the Lord doesn't seem to have answered. And in our reflection together, I caused them to realize, are you thanking God for other things that He has also sent, which may not even be related to what you are specifically asking? Because God is going to give us greater gifts once He recognizes and realizes with full certainty that we are thankful for small things that have also come from Him. And I'm convinced that to the extent that we can be truly grateful for small presents, small gifts, consistently, God is going to open the very windows of heaven with blessings that we are not able to contain, because He has the resources. His heart abounds with love, and He wants to see the specificity of our requests, followed by the gratitude once He answers us. Usually not according to our meager expectation, but exceeding abundantly above all that we have asked or thought. And this is the kind of prayer that God wants to see coming from all of us. And of course, dear friends, may we also be thankful in anticipation, even in anticipation of what we have already requested, even if we have not yet received. It may relate to letters that we write asking for some information, emails that we send when ordering some item, and we can multiply instances along those lines, and we can be thankful in advance that those things will inevitably come to us. And when we ask those things to God, it is no different, because He satisfies our longings. He exceeds in His gifts to us, far beyond that which we may imagine or expect. And of course, beloved, I'm sure that it is something that I don't even need to tell you who are here present this evening, since I know you're standing with God and your gratitude to Him. But there is one gift from God that makes sense of all other gifts that He grants us. And that, of course, is His Son, Jesus Christ. who is the very channel of everything else that he sends to us when we make those requests to him. And only his presence in our life can make us truly thankful always and for everything. Do you have him in your life today? I trust you do. And I trust that this Thanksgiving, he will again have the very first place. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, my Savior, the one who gave his all on that cruel cross, who shed his precious blood, who had his body broken, so that those who put their trust in him alone, as I have done, they may not only have life everlasting, by a sense of your infinite love for the much smaller things that we may lack in life, which you are also capable of furnishing to us in ways far beyond our comprehension. In closing, let me remind you of something that many of you may partly, if not fully, know. It has to do with a 17th century German Lutheran pastor who faced a time of great deprivation, of death and sorrow and illness, even the plague that devastated the area that where he lived and many from the congregation that he served. Reading about him, I found out that he spent certain weeks daily having at least one, many times two or even three funerals that he conducted of people whose lives have been wasted because of what crept in that city and in that region. And in the midst of all of that, the war, the famine, the pestilence, when he had to bury his own loved ones, he elected to be thankful still. And this is what we can also do in whatever circumstance of life we may find ourselves. This is what we decided. That is what we elected to pursue and to do, to be thankful unto him. And it was in the midst of all of that that he wrote words that I'm sure are familiar to all of you here. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Thanksgiving, as someone put it, is the seasoning for all seasons. And I hope that that will indeed be the experience for all of us. So in preparing to give thanks, dear friends, may we, from now on until Thanksgiving Day, and beyond, of course, because every day should be a day of thanksgiving, apart from that one day that has been chosen for an entire nation to recognize the bounty with which Almighty God has favored us, his people, and many others that unfortunately do not recognize his goodness, but who are equal beneficiaries of all that he so abundantly provides. So in preparing to give thanks, may we be boundless in our thanksgiving as we give it to the only one who deserves our thanks, our infinite gratitude for the glory of his name. Let us pray. Most gracious God, our Father, accept the thanks that we bring unto you for all that we continually receive from your bountiful hands. Many times we may not have exactly what we want. Your gifts may not come perhaps wrapped in the manner that we had anticipated, but you never fail to give us far more than we deserve and always everything that we truly need. Take us from this place to enjoy this week before us, knowing that you shall accompany our every step and bring us back to this church on Thanksgiving Day, together with many others, to recognize your infinite goodness and to render unto you the joy that overflows in each of our hearts. May your Spirit seal in each mind and heart this evening this message based on your word, even if not an exposition of a particular verse or of a particular passage. But may we be able to say, like the psalmist began Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but all the days that follow until the following Thanksgiving, and continually so. These things we pray with grateful and expectant hearts in the mighty name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen.